Today I have a couple of readings, one from the Gospel of Matthew and one from the book of Exodus. So first, a reading from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And now a reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. And that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good morning, Ebenezer Church. How are you all this morning? Excellent, excellent, excellent. Has God blessed y'all in worship today? Amen. Can we give God thanks for that? Amen. I was over there in a pool of tears because I thank God for God's goodness in my life. And I know that God's goodness is all over y'all's lives. And I'm grateful for that, too. My name is Donovan Archie. I'm one of the pastors here at Ebenezer Church. And I'm always grateful to be able to share a message whenever we get the opportunity, whenever I get the opportunity to preach within a series. If you are brand new to our church, a very special welcome to you. If you're a neighbor of our church, a special welcome to you. If you didn't know, we are in a message series entitled Teach Us to Pray. And together, myself along with the pastoral team, we've been unpacking the richness of one of the most common prayers in the Christian tradition. It is also one of the most common prayers that you experience in worship on Sunday. And it's also a prayer that you also may find yourself praying throughout the week. You may find yourself praying that prayer every day, and it is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, and it is a very powerful prayer when unpacked. When you have the opportunity to spend more time with the prayer and what Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it actually begins to unfold in a unique and beautiful way as you begin to hear and see the heart and the mind of God. This prayer is special because it brings us alongside Jesus and his early disciples when he taught them to pray. It also brings us alongside Jesus as it models for us what to pray, giving us a framework for prayer. It also gives us a framework for how to pray and where to pray and what we experience when we pray. Throughout the series, we have asked and will ask many others to pray a prayer in their native tongue. If you speak a different language or people who speak different languages and have learned this prayer in a native tongue, then we've invited them to pray this prayer in that particular language. And today we've invited a member of our congregation named Insook to pray the prayer that she learned in Korean. So I offer you this offering of the Lord's Prayer as we begin today's sermon.
하늘에 계신 우리 아버지, 이름이 거룩히 여김을 받으시오며, 나라의 임하옵시오며, 뜻이 하늘에서 이루어진 것 같이 땅에서도 이루어지이다. 오늘날 우리에게 일용할 양식을 주옵시고, 우리가 우리에게 죄지은 자를 사하여 준 것 같이 우리의 죄를 사하여 주옵시고, 우리를 시험에 들지 말게 하옵시며, 다만 악에서 구하옵소서. 대개 나라와 권세와 영광의 아버지께 영원히 있사옵나이다. 아멘.
We all say amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, this particular prayer, is found in Jesus' teaching again in chapter 6 of Matthew. Jesus is found teaching his disciples about a range of topics as he introduces the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus is teaching, he talks about topics related to worship, but then also other dynamics related to faith life. He is giving and providing for his disciples practical yet meaningful ways to truly live out, but then also live into their faith. To name a few of those topics that Jesus taught about in this particular unit in chapter 6, to name a few, he taught on how to practice forgiveness. He taught on loving your enemies, how to live righteously, how to live out your faith both publicly and privately. And he also taught us what the kingdom of heaven is like. This prayer, this particular prayer that we're uncovering throughout this series, I will add and help you to remember that this is not a standalone prayer. Now, I know that you all have received cute little placards with angel wings or doves on it that has the Lord's Prayer written on it. And oftentimes it could present to us the idea that the Lord's Prayer is sort of a standalone prayer. And while it's okay to pray that prayer as a standalone prayer, it actually has more depth to it once you know what Jesus was talking about and what he was referring to when he actually taught his disciples to pray this particular prayer. Jesus offers his disciples a more enhanced version of how to pray when you pray. This prayer that Jesus offered is actually an invitation for the disciples to boost up their aims in prayer, but then to also make sure that when they pray that their prayers are not empty, but their prayers are actually more meaningful than they think. He encourages his disciples to not let their prayers be empty. That's a direct quote from Jesus himself. In other words, or some of the implications, or one of the implications of that, is to not let your prayers be full of things that you don't understand. I know that I'm guilty of that, of praying prayers that I myself don't understand. How about you today? Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples, is also extending them the invitation to not pray prayers that are also full of things that you do not believe. I've been guilty of that too. How about you? Amen. So then Jesus offers us a different type of prayer. He invites us to a new way of prayer. And when Jesus prays this prayer alongside his disciples in teaching them this particular prayer, he begins with orienting his disciples towards the God, our Father. He establishes that this is God, our Father, who is Abba in heaven, and establish that this Father that we all have as the body of Christ is the God who established all creation. That this same God is the God who set things into motion many years ago. This is the same God who fulfills promise, who carries out purpose, and the same God who orders life. And then when you pray this prayer, acknowledging that this is the God who sets order in life and who sets purpose in life and establish things in and put things in motion and establish all of the world, that we are then to consider the righteousness and holiness of God's own essence. That this is our Father and God is in heaven and is our creator and provider, but also we should treat God and God's name as holy. And Pastor Emily, a few sermons ago, helped us to understand how to handle and treat and approach and experience not only God and God's self, but also God's name. So he begins this prayer, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, blessed, pure is thy name. And then after that, Jesus invites for us to bring or to ask for God's kingdom to come here on earth, for us to experience God's kingdom as it is in heaven, and for us to ask for that to come to us and live among us. Today, we uncover the next part of the scripture that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, which is give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to start by sharing with you a few churches ago, I served with a leader that would ask me two questions. And I must admit, when I share these questions, you'll know that they're not standardized questions, but I will tell you firsthand that I struggled answering these questions for quite a while. Whenever me and the pastor that I served alongside would meet weekly for our weekly check-ins, she would ask me these two questions. And the first question was, What do you need less of? What do you need less of? And then the other question was, what do you need more of? What do you need more of? Again, you're probably thinking, Pastor Donovan, those are not standardized questions, and they're not questions that show up on a test to test you into college. What's your problem? But I'll tell you that I struggle with answering these two questions, and oftentimes I found myself giving generic answers to these two questions. I would oftentimes give answers like, well, on the less side, I need less stress in my life, or I need less problems. Some related to this position, some just related to life. And then on the more side, I would say, well, I need more time to do my job, or I need more rest because I'm tired. And I'll tell you, over the course of 2 years, I've continued to struggle with answering the questions. And every week when she would ask me these questions, I would still give her some of those same generic answers, but only they got more ridiculous. And I'll tell you, it wasn't until I had the opportunity to preach this exact prayer in worship on one Sunday morning. And as I was uncovering scripture and I got to this place in scripture, give us this day our daily bread, I had gotten perplexed just as I did answering these two questions. You see, I tell you, I struggle with this part of scripture just like I did with those two questions, because all of these things, both the questions and this line in this prayer, all are asking for something deeper than the answers that I was given, or they're deeper than what we're able to give. You see, for me, I had uncovered while preparing for that particular message that the reason why I found it so hard to answer those two questions, what do you need less of and what do you need more of, was because I didn't truly know what I needed deep in my heart. I didn't know what I deeply needed less of, and I didn't know what I really and truly and deeply needed more of in my life. So hence the very surface answers that I provided. And I'll tell you, this part of scripture, give us this day our daily bread, turns my wheels in the same way. Because this part of scripture calls for something more deeper than just simply bread. It actually calls for us to go deep into our heart to search for the thing that we truly and deeply need, and to ask God for it. Not to ask God for just the simple things, but to truly search in the deep wells and recesses of your heart what you truly need less or more of from God. It forced me to do a heart search. And it wasn't until I did the true heart search that I was able to answer those questions. But then I'm able to truly hear what Jesus is calling of us today. Although Jesus is teaching about giving us this day our daily bread, and you don't see much around it because it's compounded into one prayer, underneath it, or if we can camp around it, Jesus is truly inviting us to explore our needs and to offer them to God. This portion of Jesus's prayer that we're looking at today actually has a more profound meaning when you consider its original format. When first prayed by Jesus in Aramaic, which was the language that Jesus spoke, it actually translates as, give us today what is only necessary for us to exist, in Aramaic. While in the Greek we have, give us tomorrow's supply for today. Or in other words, give us all there is for tomorrow, today, right now. The Greek translation comes to us as scholars and theologians were developing and unpacking the Greek language, and as they were putting together scripture. And we have these two ideas of what this particular line in the prayer means. Now, I'll also tell you that these two parts of scripture, although they differ in language, is not something to get bent out of shape about regarding interpretation. So at ease. Because while they do differ, I think they still lend to us the same idea as we are called to develop a more solid prayer life. as we're called to consider what we pray for, when we pray, how we pray, and what we ask for when we pray. Either way it's interpreted, it's intended for us to learn one thing. And that one thing is actually consistent with what Jesus teaches throughout the rest of Matthew chapter 6. If we can compile all of what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, it would be these things here. It's how to overcome worry with trust, and then also how to live in this world without being overpowered by the world. If I could skip ahead a little bit down into chapter 6, Jesus actually is seen and is taught teaching on possessions. He teaches on money as well as he teaches his disciples to be faithful with all that God has given them. That as God has given to them, they offer what was given to them back over to God for the upbuilding of God's kingdom, but only so that the provider, the one who sets things into motion, could do whatever he wants to do. Jesus's aim here was to get his followers to see that God is the number one emphasis when it comes to prayer. But then also when we are seeking and asking God for something for today, that it is from the deep recesses of our hearts and that we're not burdened by the past and we're not too caught up in the future. You see, God recognizes, or Jesus recognizes, the human tendency here. He recognizes that we are capable of being caught in what the past has done to us, or we're too busy storing up for the future. And that while God is a God of the future and the past, what matters to God a whole lot is what we do right now, here today, in this very moment. And Jesus, in his teaching in chapter 6, calls all of his disciples to right now, to the very life that they're living, to the very moment that they're breathing, and says not to worry about things in the past or present, but to focus on what God wants to give you, show you, and allow you to experience this day. If I could walk through just three verses, I'll help you. Jesus goes on in his teaching, and he says that you are not to have an undivided devotion when it comes to wealth and possession, but you are to be only devoted to God because God provides all of your needs. Thinking back to the beginning of the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," it is us acknowledging that we worship God and that we are undivided in our devotion to God, and that as we rely on God, the one who sets things in motion and the one who provides, we only go to God for what we need. We only consider God for our own wealth and our own being. That everything that is given to us indeed is a gift from God, and it's also a gift that we offer back to God. In verses down into 26, you also may have heard Jesus talk about the birds and the grass and the lilies and the fields of our creation. And he talks about how we are to strive to be just like the grass, how we are to be like the birds and the lilies in the field and not worry about our lives or to worry about the future, but to let and allow God, the one who sets things into motion, causes things to be, the one who orders life, to provide for you today. The other part of that scripture is actually my favorite scripture. And if you catch me in passing, you actually may hear me say it a few times. It's Matthew 6:33. And lastly, Jesus teaches on today by saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his," Abba Father, "the Abba Father's righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." The idea here is that as you seek, things will follow. As you seek God, the Lord your God, things will come later, because God is the one who provides first. He knows your needs just like he knows the needs of the grass and the lilies. So as you seek God with your time, your talent, your resources, your career, who you are, your family, your position as a mom, a dad, a kid, whoever you are, as you honor and seek God with all of that first, all the other things will follow. In our society today, it teaches us sort of to do that backwards. That sometimes we want all the other things that are to come without first seeking the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus orients his disciples as the body of Christ and then orients us to orient ourselves to seeking first the kingdom of God with all that we are and all that we have, and then let everything follow, starting today and end today. The idea here is that God already knows our needs. And in fact, when Jesus begins this prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," before he prays it, he says, "Before you pray, the Lord already knows what you will pray." And then at the very end of Jesus's teaching in chapter 6, he says, "Don't worry, because the Lord already knows your needs." I don't know what you need from the Lord today, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows our needs according to God's riches and glories. And Jesus teaches us this, saying, quote, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring about its own worries. Tomorrow has its own troubles. Today has its own troubles. So focus on today." You see, the idea here and what Jesus is trying to get at with his disciples, these human beings who have human tendencies, says that he understands that we have a tendency to rush ahead, that we have a tendency to ignore the blessedness that is in today. He says that I understand the human tendency that we have to think of ourselves or to become our own providers. But he says to seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek God first, our Father who is in heaven, and let everything else follow. That God is first the provider. So we teach our families about the one who truly provides. That's for the men in the house today. Or for the moms, or for those who are too bent out of shape and not giving themselves enough grace on being the providers. Point to God and understand and know and teach that God is first our provider, and that every good and perfect thing comes from God, the Lord our God. And then lastly, Jesus understands our tendency to be forgetful in seeking the Lord daily, which is why when he prays this prayer, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." He understands that we need bread and food and sustenance for each and every day. So like you need bread and sustenance for each and every day, seek the Lord for what you need each and every day. Focus on what's in front of you and ask the Lord for what you truly need. So then God offers us this. Almost as we are asking and praying for God to give us our daily bread, it reminds me of the questions that I was asked. Well, what do we need more of? And whatever that is, we ask for God to give us that daily. Jesus wants us to pray this because I believe that Jesus is trying to get us to do three things that I'll share with you before I close. That he prays this prayer and seeks to orient our lives in a particular type of way because he desires for us to know that we can trust God, number one, for our provisions. That God is the one who first provides, and that we've seen all the ways that God has provided. That just like the second scripture that was read for us from Exodus, God saw the Israelites through and he provided and showed the hand of his provisions from start to finish, beginning and knowing and seeing that they were in despair and in slavery and in bondage, decided to act on their behalf, giving them all of what they needed as they sought first the kingdom. And God delivered them with God's hand, giving them provisions the entire time, start to finish. And just like the Israelites, God wants to do that for our lives too. God, to see God's hands on our lives from start to finish. And that God will do it. God will see to it. Then number one, we trust God for God's provisions. And then number two, that we trust God to fill us. That we trust God to fill us with what we need physically, but then also spiritually. You see, some of us, when we pray this prayer about daily bread, we actually need bread. We actually need food for some of us. And as a body, we are called to go out into the world and to help others get the food and sustenance that they need, which is why our ministries run deep, like growing gardens to feed our communities. It's because we sense and we understand and we get the call that there are hungry people out there in the world, and we have the opportunity to feed them physically and to respond in mission. But then also as the body of Christ, as God's own, we have the opportunity to be fed by God spiritually as well. That as God understands and knows our needs, God will provide for us if we have a need physically, but when we have a need spiritually as well. You see, when you came to church, I didn't know what you will need from God, what you would need from God. And I still don't know what you need from God. That's between you and the Lord, whether that's something physical you need to trust God on or something spiritual. What do you need from God today? Trust that God could do it. That's a part of our daily bread. That one, we can trust God for provisions. Number two, we can trust that God will fill us physically and spiritually. And then three, we can trust God for insight. You see, insight is oftentimes has a line drawn to it when it comes to God's foretaste, which is just another way of saying God's kingdom. Bread throughout the entire Bible, all throughout scripture, talks about appetizers and glimpses and sneak peeks, trailers of the kingdom of God that is coming here to earth. And in this prayer, we pray for God's kingdom to come here to earth, which is another way of saying, God, give us insight to your kingdom as it is in heaven, but do it on earth. Whatever the peace or justice or love, whatever the thing that needs to be done here in your visible kingdom on earth, let it be done, because it is only a foretaste. It is only an appetizer of what your kingdom is and will be in the future. So Jesus invites us to this. Give us this day our daily bread. That God wants to give you provision. God wants you to trust him that he will fill you physically and spiritually. And then also God will give you the insight you need. If you need revelation, if you have questions, whatever it is, God will provide it for our church and for you individually. So now the next time you hear this prayer and you get to this part, I pray that you don't get stuck. And I pray that in a more unpacked version, it actually expands the way you're able to ask God for what you deeply and truly need. And that when you pray this prayer, it actually sounds like this. And I'll invite you to pray it with me at the end. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day that which we need for our lives, which is all because of your provisions. According to who you are as our Lord, give us the sustenance we need physically and spiritually to take this journey with you. And give me a taste of what you seek to do in this life in preparation for the next. Make what you plan to do with me tomorrow show up in me today. I invite you to pray the rest of it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.